I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning. KSL News Time is 8 o'clock. This is Utah's Morning News. I'm Tim Hughes.
And I'm Amanda Dixon. KSL's top story this hour.
We're getting more details this morning about messages sent by the Texas school shooter minutes before he arrived at an elementary school in Uvalde.
We begin our team coverage with ABC's Monica Sarabdi.
The messages appear to show the suspected gunman texting a 15-year-old girl in Germany on the morning of the massacre. First, describing an argument with his grandmother over paying his phone bill, and then texting, quote, "I shot my grandmother in the head." Later, he writes, "I'ma go shoot up a elementary school right now." That last message was sent at 11:21 a.m., 11 minutes before authorities say he entered the school. Speaking to the New York Times, the girl says after seeing the news, she asked a friend to contact police and said, quote, "Maybe I could have changed the outcome. Just could never guess that he'd actually do this."
Abdi also says we have new details about the timeline of the shooting, and we now know the shooter was in the school for 40 minutes before he was killed by law enforcement.
Senator Mitt Romney's comments on gun control are attracting national attention in the wake of the Texas school shootings. KSL News Radio's Dan Bomas has more.
Romney told reporters in Washington yesterday that background checks are an appropriate federal responsibility. The Deseret News reported Romney said he's ready to take another look at a proposal from Senators Pat Toomey and Joe Manchin to expand background checks. The Brady Center for Gun Violence says Romney's campaigns have taken large contributions from the National Rifle Association through the years, but the Salt Lake Tribune reports his Utah Senate campaigns have taken no money from the NRA. Dan Bomas, KSL News Radio.
A Utah company that makes bulletproof backpacks says school districts need to do more to protect teachers as they try and protect their students. Details from KSL TV's Shara Park.
A bulletproof binder, and Aaron Gilbert says that every teacher and administrator in Utah should have one. Gilbert is the president and CEO of Citizen Armor in Spanish Fork. His company makes everything from body armor to bulletproof backpacks. He says history has shown that it often takes someone rushing a shooter to stop an attack, and if that's going to be a teacher, he says they need protection.
Gilbert is asking every school district in Utah to consider a line item in their budgets to pay for a ballistic shield in every classroom.
During the COVID-19 pandemic, substance abuse among young teens decreased, while mental health problems saw a significant increase. KSL News Radio's Mark Jackson joins us live with an update. Mark?
Well, Tim, findings from the Utah Department of Health and Human Services and Utah Board of Education show a decrease in physical activity and an increase in obesity among students in 6th, 8th, 10th, and 12th grades. The report also says there was an increase in mental health concerns, but the study conducted in 2021 also reveals a sharp decline in binge drinking, alcohol use, cigarette smoking, and marijuana use. While the uptick in mental health problems is a concern, state health officials say it's pretty much been a trend over the past number of years. Mark Jackson, KSL News Radio.
The FDA is now blaming its mailroom for what ultimately led to the baby formula shortage crisis. The FDA and formula maker Abbott faced tough questions on Capitol Hill yesterday. The FDA says it didn't receive a whistleblower complaint detailing health violations at Abbott's plant in Michigan until 4 months after it was sent.
The FDA then inspected the plant in January, finding, quote, egregiously unsanitary conditions. In mid-February, the FDA closed the Abbott facility and the formula was recalled. Since then, more than 40% of baby formula has been out of stock nationwide. Abbott says it will restart production early next month, but it could take 8 weeks, possibly until the end of July, before store shelves are restocked.
ABC's Andrea Fujii reporting.
First look traffic, we go back over to Andy Farnsworth.
Well, Tim, a couple of crashes that were on I-15 in downtown Salt Lake City caused a huge backup that we're still dealing with the effects of. Southbound is slow coming from Davis County. The backups begin right at the 215 split, and they still continue down to the turn to I-80 to go by the airport. That big backup on Highway 89 is back again this morning, approaching I-84 because of road work. And we still have northbound slowdowns on I-15 in between 72nd and 53rd South in the middle of the valley. I'm Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
KSL News Time, 8:05.
Utah's Morning News has inside sources.
A representative from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, David A. Bednar, is speaking today at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C.
Joining us live in studio, the host of Inside Sources, Boyd Matheson. Do we know what he's going to be talking about, Boyd?
Yeah, this will be a fascinating discussion at the National Press Club. It's been 22 years since a senior leader of the church has spoken there. You may remember when President Gordon B. Hinckley spoke there. It was actually where he and Mike Wallace made that really unique connection and friendship that led to a 60 Minutes feature and a lot of really interesting coverage. Elder Bednar is expected to talk today about some of the things the church is doing to help food crisis in Africa. He'll also talk about how they educate over a million young people around the world every year, and also some of the activities and efforts of the church in helping refugees coming out of Ukraine.
Oh, wow. What time is that going to be happening?
That will be happening at 11 o'clock Utah time, and it is available on their YouTube channel. You can go to press.org and see that there, but it will be an interesting thing. Of course, Elder Bednar, one of the senior apostles in the Quorum of the 12 Apostles of the Church of Jesus Christ, and also has a very deep business background, and I think it will be very fascinating to see. He will both speak, and then he will also take questions from the press there, and this is kind of a rich Washington tradition. And, of course, with the reopening of the Washington, D.C. Temple, the open house that's taking place there now, there is a lot of interest, a lot of very fascinating conversations going on. So it should be a really interesting day at the National Press Club today.
How did the invitation come to be? I know we don't have very much time, Boyd, but I to have it be not for so many years and now to have it happen.
Yeah, it is. My guess is, and I don't know exactly, but my guess is it probably had something to do with the outreach efforts during the Temple open house. Remember, there were members of Congress, the House and the Senate. There were, I believe, five of the Supreme Court justices toured the Washington, D.C. Temple during that special week of open house there. And so I think there was a lot of press went through as well from a wide variety of international press organizations took tours of the temple there. So I think there were some friendships and some connections made there.
Boy, and we heard so many of those conversations on your program, and we'll look forward to another good one today. Inside Sources with Boyd coming up 1 to 3 o'clock each weekday on KSL News Radio.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.